brought to you by Penguin.
The Ballad of Sir Benfro by J.D. Oswald. Read by Wayne Forrester. Book 3. The Golden Cage. Chapter 1.
Cuckoo child in a nest of thieves, bastard heir to mage's line, stealer of souls, taker of lives, harbinger of the death of worlds.
The Prophecies of Mad Goronwy. Silence blanketed the world like an invisible fog. Even the trees gave off no sound, though they waved and flexed in the stiff breeze. Underfoot, the grass was wet with dew, but he could feel nothing of its texture on the soles of his bare feet. A shiver ran through him, but it wasn't the chill of the wind on his face, rather an aching, leeching cold that he instinctively tried to get away from. Not knowing how he had got there, Errol hunkered down between two large tree roots, pulling his cloak around himself and shivering. He was tired, but somehow sleep eluded him. Was he waiting for someone? He couldn't be sure, but he felt like he had been here before. His ankles ached at the thought of moving. He had no desire to stand up, no desire to do anything but huddle in his frozen hollow and try to sleep. If only he could sleep. She came to him as a scent. He could still hear nothing, not even the beating of his own heart, but the aroma plunged him back into happy memories of sun and warmth, holding hands, a lingering kiss. Everything was tinged with a deep, comforting green, and for a moment he even forgot the cold and the pain. From his dark hiding place, Errol watched the path as it wound its way through the sparse, ancient trees. He saw her first a good distance off, moving carefully, sticking to the shadows. Closer now, and he was sure. It was Martha, as he had last seen her, serious eyes concentrating on the task ahead, dark, shoulder-length hair pulled back and tied simply at her neck, still wearing her boot-length forest-green travelling cloak. She picked her way along the edge of the path, keeping as much as possible beneath the wind-swirled canopies of the great trees. Every so often, she would look up at the sky, scanning the grey undersides of the clouds as if something terrible lurked there. Errol tried to call out to her, "Martha," but his voice was silent, echoing only in his head. Somehow, he wasn't surprised. Neither did it alarm him that he couldn't move. He knew what was going to happen next. For about 200 paces, she had to cross open ground, a natural clearing in the forest where a rocky outcrop rose out of the ground. She paused at the edge, glanced once more at the sky, then stepped boldly into the light. She didn't run. That might have drawn too much attention. Instead, she seemed to draw in on herself until she almost disappeared. Almost, but not quite. Errol could still see her, shrinking as she moved steadily across the clearing. And others could see her too. In the silence, they were impossible creatures. They appeared from nowhere, four great beasts with wings a dozen paces from shoulder to tip. Their landing should have shaken the earth, but they sank onto huge taloned feet with a tremor surrounding her, trapping her. Errol could only watch, paralyzed by something beyond fear. But Martha was not afraid. She stood among the dragons as if they were no more than placid cattle in a summer field. She looked at them each in turn, her mouth voicing words that had no sound. She held out her hand, and a tiny sphere of light blazed forth, hovering above her palm. One of the dragons took an involuntary step back at this, slumping onto his tail, as if in astonishment. Martha must have taken this as permission to pass, for she boldly stepped out of their circle as if to continue to the other side of the clearing.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?